Hello and welcome to another thought for the day from New Milton Evangelical Free Church. Well, it falls to me this morning to make an announcement that this will be the last of our thought for the day messages for the foreseeable future, in actual fact, and we're grateful to you and we want to thank you for joining us on our journey through the various respective studies that we've been privileged to bring to you. So we're going to read these last few verses from Philemon this morning, and then that will be all we have to say in our studies for thought for the day for a while yet. We may resume sometime in the future. But let's pray together as we come to God's word. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being able to read your word. We thank you for all that it teaches us concerning the joy of our salvation and the glory of Christ. We pray again that he is preeminent in all that we do and say, that our hearts may be full of him, that we may see his face and seek his glory. So we want to bring honour to him who died for us and rose that we might live with him forever. In his name we pray. Amen. So we're reading Philemon and verses 23 to 25. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. How do you sign off your letters? Well, it's typical of Paul to actually send greetings not only from himself, but from those who are with him. And these names occur in the letters that he writes, and we can say that we know something about them. Of course, Luke, we know a lot about him. He wrote the Gospel and he wrote Acts, and halfway through Acts or partway through Acts, we read that the tense changes and he joins Paul on his missionary journey. So we know that this is eyewitness accounts, and we know from studying what Luke writes, how faithful a recorder he is, how good a historian he is. This has been of note to so many people who have studied his writings. John Mark also, we know, writer of a gospel, attender of Paul alongside him for some at least of his journey in Acts. But what I want to bring to you this morning is how these men are signed off. So it's kind of like the epitaph. And I need to ask myself, and I wonder whether you think as well, what would be said of me at the end of my journey with Christ? What would be the final note which I will leave in the minds of those who remember me after I've gone to be with him? So we're going to just have a look at a few of these names and see how they are referred to in not only Philemon, but elsewhere in the New Testament. First of all, let's have a look at Epaphras. Paul calls him my fellow prisoner. And Colossians tells us a little more about him. If you turn to Colossians 4, we're told quite a bit about him, actually. We're told that Epaphras, verse 12 of chapter 4, who is one of you, Paul says, a servant of Jesus Christ, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. So this great staunch worker for Christ has been by the side of Paul in his work for the gospel. And in actual fact, it's likely that Epaphras was the means whereby the church at Colossae was actually formed. He was a church planter. Such is his loyalty to the gospel of Christ. And so it is that the greetings from this marked saint of God would have done much to cheer the hearts of the church in Philemon's household, this great man of God, Epaphras, who, although he's not an apostle, is certainly an apostle colleague. And Paul refers to him as my fellow prisoner. Obviously, he's in chains too. He's been accused and maybe even convicted of crimes, the great crime of being a believer in Jesus Christ. Secondly, let's have a look at Aristarchus. Aristarchus is mentioned also in Acts 27. It seems he is a Macedonian and probably from Thessalonica. And he too is referred to in this complimentary way. He's called a fellow worker with Paul, as are the others. So Paul gives tribute to these people who have stood alongside him, who still stand with him, even though he is in chains for Christ. And when we look around, we can see those who are fellow workers with us for the gospel of Jesus. And we have to ask ourselves, in my church, in the church where God has placed me, am I regarded as a fellow worker? Or am I just really a passenger? What am I doing to actually uphold and to further the work of Christ alongside these men who are notable leaders? Not all of us are given the name of leader, but we can be given the name fellow worker. The second question then arises, doesn't it? If it came to suffering for Christ, would I be willing to suffer alongside these faithful men who will not compromise, who will not actually accede to the world and the world's demands, who will not bow the knee to the Caesars of our current day and proclaim them as Lord and betray the Lord Jesus Christ? Would I be a fellow prisoner for Christ? And the third person I want to talk about is Mark, John Mark. A bit of a checkered history here, because we read that in Acts 13, he actually has been working alongside Paul, but then he leaves Paul in Pamphylia to go back to Jerusalem. And later on, this is a cause of contention. When Paul and Barnabas are talking about going on another missionary journey to strengthen the churches in Acts 15 verses 37 to 40, Paul is reluctant now to take John Mark with him because he deserted them and left them alone in Pamphylia and went off to Jerusalem. And so his reliability is called into question. However, by this time, when Paul is now in prison, Mark's come back on board and Mark is regarded as a fellow worker alongside of Paul. So maybe you sometimes have blips in your service of Christ. It's not the blip that counts. It's what happens afterwards, that you are restored to the work of the gospel, that you are going to stand for the Christ, perhaps even though you wavered at one stage. It's how you end up that matters, not what you did in the meantime. And then finally, this man Demas, and here's a sorry tale. At this stage, he's called a fellow worker. But by the time Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, he has this to say, that Demas has deserted me because he has fallen in love with the things of the world and he's left his Christian profession to go after worldly things. And the final note in the story of Demas is that he abandoned Paul and left him on his own. Sadly, that is true of some Christians in our day. Maybe they have not really ever been Christians. We don't know. Maybe later on, after that desertion, they will return and they will have cause to repent of and regret and weep tears in coming back to Jesus. But what a sad thing to say. Demas has deserted me. And I have to pray that by God's strength, it may never be said of me that I have deserted my fellow workers in Christ, those who work hard for the gospel, those who labour long in the putting forward of the truth of God from his word, those who stand for the fellowship of the church against the demands of the world. May it be said of me, God willing, that I stand with them and I do not run away from them. So thank you again for bearing with us, for carrying this through to our current stage, and may I encourage you to participate in your local church and to be encouraged to go on with Christ in your life for him and give glory to him. Let's pray as we close. Our gracious Lord, hold our hearts firm, we pray. Protect us against the wiles of the devil. Keep us from the lures of the world. Shield us from our own sin, which will trip us up and tangle itself around our feet so that we do not stand firm. By your grace, by your Spirit's power, by the certainties of your promise in Christ, we pray that we may be yours forever and yours faithfully in this world in which we live. In the name of Jesus and to his eternal glory, we pray. Amen.